Beloved congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, sometimes it's really good and relieving to finally put down a really heavy burden that you've been carrying around. For example, just the other day, my daughter and I had to carry into our house this really large wooden table. And what a relief it was when she could finally put the thing down and give her arms a break. I wonder if you've ever had an experience like that. You've had to carry something heavy for a while, and maybe an armful of wood. Maybe you've had to wheel the wheelbarrow for a ways or put down the canoe or the kayak finally into the water after carrying it down. You understand, it's a relief to be freed from our burdens, to put down the heavy loads that we have to carry. And also this afternoon in a reading in Jeremiah 17, this is exactly what the Lord is instructing his people to do on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. God gave his people, and he also gives to us this day of rest so that we can take our burdens, put them down, and be refreshed by him. A day in which we can put down our burdens and worship the Lord, and also learn what that means, not just for the Sabbath day of rest, but for every day of our lives. And so our theme this afternoon is this: lay down your burdens and worship the Lord. We'll see 2 points. First, on the day of rest, and then secondly, all the days of your life. Now maybe you ask, how important is it really that God commands us to lay down our burdens on the day of rest? Well, it's quite remarkable, the strong language that the Lord uses in Jeremiah 17. You see what he says there in chapter 17, verse 21. Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day. Already you understand this is not a minor matter that the Lord God is getting at. It's something that they have to do for the sake of their life. In other words, it's a life and death matter, you could say. Laying down your burdens on the day of rest, yes, in some sense it was physically rejuvenating. But there's more to it than that. God is saying, even in terms of preserving your very life, even your spiritual lives, you need to lay down your burdens on the Sabbath day. But again, you ask, well, why? What's so special about the Sabbath day? Why do you have to put down your burdens? Well, if you think about the people of Israel, and if you think about the Ten Commandments congregation, there were especially two things that the people of Israel were commanded to remember on the Sabbath day, and those things are found in the two places that the law of God is given, the two places we hear the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. And when the Lord gives the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, what is the reason he gives for observing the Sabbath day? Well, in Exodus 20, he refers to creation. God says, in 6 days I made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and I rested on the seventh day. Therefore, you too must learn to follow my example, to rest on the Sabbath day, to lay down your burden, and gather together as a people of God. And what they would learn is that the God they worshiped wasn't just any God, but one who had made the heavens and made the earth, the one true God who was sovereign over all. Part of their purpose in laying down their burdens and worshiping the Lord was seeing that he was the great creator and also the one who calls his people to have fellowship with him. So that's Exodus chapter 20. God is a creator. And then as you turn to Deuteronomy 5, the Lord God gives a bit of a different reason for commemorating the Sabbath day. There he speaks about their great deliverance, their liberation from slavery in Egypt. As part of their Sabbath day, the people were to remember how the Lord God brought Israel out of Egypt with that mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And what really was happening? Well, you remember in Egypt, it was a place essentially of nonstop burden bearing. They were enslaved under the yoke of Pharaoh. He forced them to labor and labor hard. But God is saying, now on the Sabbath day, you will remember that I have freed you from Egypt, freed you from that endless bearing of burdens. And so especially on the Sabbath day, lay those burdens down. Remember, I have freed you from that. And so this is why the Lord says here in Jeremiah 17 that it's for the sake of their very lives, because it's on the Sabbath day that the people of Israel would be reminded of these things. They would remember that the Lord God was their creator, that he was the one true God, first of all. But they'd also remember that he was their savior, the one who took them from slavery in Egypt, brought them out of there with a mighty hand, and made a covenant with them. And every week again, they had that one day set apart to worship the God who created them and who saved them. And now, beloved, if you turn your attention to ourselves this afternoon, here we are, Sunday, our weekly day of rest. And the very same thing is true for you and for I this afternoon. What happens here, you could say, is happening for the sake of your very lives. What happens today has eternal spiritual value. Because we have come together as well to worship who? Well, to worship the Creator, the one true God, the one who is sovereign over all of the earth, the one who created us and who put us in this world that he has made. And we do this because God clearly says in 6 days he made heaven and earth, and then he rested on the seventh day. He set it apart, holy, and we are to set it apart and have fellowship with him. That's the first reason we gather on Sunday. And the second is also the same as the Israelites. The Israelites remembered how the Lord God freed them from their slavery in Egypt. And so each Sunday again, we too are reminded of our own freedom from slavery. You know, whenever you hear the prologue, the introduction to the Ten Commandments, this is what comes into your mind. You know, before the Lord gives the first commandment, what does he say? He says, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Now, how does a Christian hear those words? How do you, congregation, take those words spoken to Old Testament Israel and apply them to yourselves? Well, you understand that we were not taken out of slavery in Egypt. But what God has done for us in Jesus Christ is he has freed us from all the power of the devil. He has taken us out of that kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And as the Catechism teaches us this afternoon, you know, this is one of the main reasons we come to worship God on Sunday, is to hear these things. What does it say there, Lord's Day 38? That I diligently attend the church of God to hear God's word. We come to hear this gospel of salvation, to hear that the God who made heaven and earth is also the God who has rescued us from our sins, who has freed us from the devil. It's through the preaching of the gospel that the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, faith that unites us to Christ, faith that assures us of everlasting life. And perhaps you can see how also for us this afternoon, keeping the Sabbath day, it is a matter of life and death. You know, what could be more important for your life than coming to the place where the gospel is proclaimed every week again so that the Spirit of God can use the Word of God to work faith in your heart, which leads to everlasting life. To hear the gospel of salvation, which is the power of God for everyone who believes, to salvation. And of course, the Catechism mentions it's not only the preached word that we come to the Church of God for, we also come here to use the sacraments, to have the Word of God visibly portrayed before us in the signs and seals. We come to call publicly upon the Lord to show that fellowship we have with God. And we come to give our Christian offerings for the poor, one token of our thankfulness to the Lord God for saving us and for creating us. Now, perhaps it's possible this afternoon that you think, well, maybe I'm overstating the case a little bit. And perhaps you do wonder about this line in the Catechism where it speaks about, especially on the day of rest, diligently attending the Church of God. And you know, every now and then you wonder, you know, do we really have to go to church so diligently? Do I really have to go as best I can twice every Sunday? Sometimes you say to yourself, essentially, we just hear the same thing every week. We hear the good news of the gospel. I already know the good news of the gospel. I know that Christ is my Savior. I have faith in him. Why so diligent? Why come every week again to hear the Word of God? Well, this would be an opportunity for us, congregation, to just do some self-reflection for a moment. And to ask yourself, if you're someone who's not so sure about the importance of regular Sunday worship, if you're someone who doesn't really make the strong effort to come as often as you can, and if you don't really look forward to the weekly worship of God every week again, then ask yourself the question, well, how really is your spiritual life? How strong is your faith? How holy is your walk before the Lord God? Would you be someone who strives faithfully to serve the Lord in every way, continually striving to put away the sin in your life? You know, do you understand where the weaknesses are in your life? Weaknesses that the Spirit of God must work to renew within you. And are you someone who is eagerly looking forward to that day when Christ returns, when the eternal Sabbath is brought about by the Lord Jesus Christ? And the fact of the matter is, congregation, unless your soul is being continually fed with the true spiritual food that you need every week again to live your Christian lives, then these things will not be your top priorities. You know, you'll be more concerned about the things of this life, your work, your play, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever it might be. And if you don't make worship of God central in your life, then it won't be a priority to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God either. It's no wonder the Lord God says to us this afternoon, take care for the sake of your very lives, that you put these things down. You come to hear the word of God. It's the word that gives you life, even eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, for the Israelites, this command, it was particularly important, particularly significant, because it was a direct reminder of their experience in Egypt. There in Egypt, under the tyranny of Pharaoh, what were they doing? They were burdened, bearing burdens day after day under the yoke of slavery. They were not able to worship the Lord. You remember, why did the Lord tell Pharaoh, let my people go? It's so that they could worship me. They could not do this under the burden of slavery in Egypt. They could not experience that blessed Sabbath rest which God knew their souls needed every week again. And essentially, the Lord is saying here in Jeremiah, he's saying, is that what you want to go back to? Do you want to put your lives in jeopardy by recreating this experience essentially as it was in Egypt, by bearing your burdens even on the Sabbath day? And you know, beloved, for us too, if we're unable to lay down our burdens on the Sabbath, if we're so caught up in the things of this world, then rather than experiencing the blessings of worshiping the Lord, what happens? Well, slowly we'll become enslaved to the ruler of this world again, who is the devil. And you know that he has nothing to offer you but more burden. The burden of running after the earthly pleasures that never satisfy. The burden of guilt, which comes from remaining in his kingdom of darkness, doing evil deeds. All Satan has for you is burdens. And if you're unable to lay these things down on the Sabbath day, then what's going to happen to your lives? They're continually under the tyranny of the devil. It's interesting to note as well what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he cleared the temple, when he drove out the money changers and people selling and buying on the Sabbath day. I think especially of Mark chapter 11, verses 15 and following. It says there, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And then listen to verse 16. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. See what Jesus said. Don't carry anything through the temple. Don't bear burdens on the Sabbath day. Why? Because the temple of God and also the church of Jesus Christ is meant to be a place of worship, where we put these things down, where we draw near to the Lord and fellowship with Him and hear of His great salvation. We draw near to the Lord for the sake of our very lives. And so, beloved, we need to heed this call of God as well, to put down our burdens. You know, don't be tempted to take up your regular work on this day, not because work is bad. Of course, work is a thing God has given us to do for 6 days. But if all you can think about on Sunday is your work, then you're being consumed by it. Your Sunday worship will have to take a back seat, and your communion with God is in jeopardy, and even your life, the eternal well-being of your soul, is in question. Now, I think for the most part, we don't really actually work on Sundays, but we have a hard time putting thoughts of work away from our minds on Sundays. Of course, it's not wrong to speak about your week today, to speak of what went well or what went wrong. But if that's all you talk about, and if there's no reference to how the Lord God has been with you or blessed you in your week, or how the Sunday worship is going to set the tone for your week of work that lies ahead, then you aren't laying down your burdens, and something needs to change. And on the same token, if on the Sabbath day you are still consumed with the worries of the world, you know what Scripture calls the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, again, something needs to change, because God says, put these things down. Forget about all the stuff of the world. Forget about those burdens and come see that I am your God who created you and who saved you, and drink that in. And so let us pray, beloved, that the Lord would help us in this. Pray that He would help you to fill your heart and your mind with His life-changing word, the word that's again being proclaimed this very day. And then delight in the reality that God has given us one day every week to hear the blessed words of salvation, that He is a God who made us and who saved us in Jesus Christ, and that this is food for your very souls. And so we come then to our second point: all the days of your life. Now in Jeremiah 17, the Lord also makes some promises to His people. And He says, if the Israelites were obedient to the Lord's call to lay down their burdens on the Sabbath day, then there were some rather remarkable blessings that He promised would follow. And the first of those blessings would be the continuation of the Davidic kingship. You see that especially in verses 24 and 25. The Lord says, if you listen to Me and bring in no burden by the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall be inhabited forever. Here the Lord is giving a picture, you could say, of a king riding back into the city, a victorious king riding into the city to be again seated on the throne of David. And God is saying, He's making this connection, if you keep the Sabbath day, if you lay down your burdens and worship the Lord, then I will bless you with this powerful king in your midst, a king who is victorious, a king who would remove the burden of enemy oppression from upon the people. That's one blessing. The next blessing is found in verse 26. And there we read, and the people shall come from the cities of Judah and the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the Shephelon, from the hill country, and from the Negeb, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Again, God is saying, this is what happens when you keep the Sabbath day. There will be an abundance of prosperity and blessing. You know, all these gifts and sacrifices the people will bring into Jerusalem, well, they have to come from somewhere. And clearly it would be the result of the Lord blessing His people when they keep the Sabbath day. If the people of Israel would keep the Sabbath, put down their burdens, the Lord is saying, I will bless you. I will make your animals multiply. I will cause the wagons that they pull to be burdened themselves with a great blessing that I will give. These are remarkable promises, congregation, the Lord gives to his people for keeping the Sabbath day. And now ask yourself the question, what can we learn from these blessings of the Lord? Well, as it turns out, we can learn a great deal. Because what happens when we faithfully lay down our burdens and worship the Lord this day? Well, as we've already seen, one of the things that happens is the Spirit takes the Word of God and works faith in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel. And therefore, just as for the Israelites, there would be a great Davidic king remaining on the throne, so for us as well, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, will remain sovereign on the throne of our lives and on the throne of his kingdom over this church as well. Because we hear the gospel of salvation, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Lord of our lives. And I think here, especially of what the Catechism teaches a little bit later on, in Lord's Day 48, it explains what the second petition, your kingdom comes, and it means, so rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. You see that faithfully worshiping the Lord ensures that Christ remains king in your life. Faithfully worshiping the Lord ensures that you belong and remain in the kingdom of God, just as we saw this morning as well. And what's more is that the burden of our own enemy oppression will also be done away with more and more. Because with Jesus Christ as king in our life, we'll receive that rich blessing of the Holy Spirit who is at work to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit of God working to help us overcome the temptations of the devil and of the world and even of our own flesh. And as a result, congregation, every day of our lives will be strengthened to rest from our evil works, as the Catechism also speaks about in the second part there, and offer our lives to God and to Jesus Christ as that sacrifice of praise that he calls us to. And all this blessing is what God has promised will happen simply when we are obedient to the fourth commandment, when we set aside the day of rest to worship the Lord, when we lay down our burdens and come before him. And in all this, beloved, we also get a small foretaste of that eternal Sabbath which God has promised. And again, this eternal Sabbath, it's not a time when, you know, we'll just do absolutely nothing, a time when we won't even have any work to do, certainly not. What it means is it's a time where we'll fully rest from our evil works, when all the curse brought about by sin is removed, when we are freed to serve the Lord in perfect faithfulness forever, fulfilling whatever purpose he gives us in glory. The eternal Sabbath, when you could say you will be completely and entirely freed from any burden that you experience in this life. The burden of sin will be gone, and work itself will no longer be burdensome, but a joy before the Lord. And all this, congregation, is what God is saying will be ours when we obey the fourth commandment. And this commandment, too, it's not meant to be a burden. God gives us these commandments so that it may go well with us, so that we may delight in resting from our daily work, so that we can look forward to the glorious rest he has in store for us. And so here once more, beloved congregation, the call of God to put down your burdens. Why? Well, it's for the sake of your very lives. Put down your burdens and worship the Lord today and indeed every day of your life. Amen.